The story you are about to hear was reported to us by CBS newsman William Keneally. It's based on his experiences when he served as a captain with the 8th Army Air Force, England. Now, from Hollywood, romance. Romance, transcribed stories of love and adventure, of excitement and derring-do, of conflict and human emotion. Today, an unusual drama of the aftermath of war as told by William Keneally. With Vic Perrin as Clint, we present The Mission.
Pilots, 3ME, 7 o'clock high. They're after us.
Roger.
Waist gunner to pilot, a 4FWs at 3 o'clock.
They're all yours, gentlemen. I'm entering the bomb run. No more evasive action.
Roger.
Roger.
Pilot to bombardier.
Yeah, Max?
You're on, boy. Take it away.
Roger. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6.
Meat on the table.
5, 4, 3, 2,
Richmond, 1.
Roger, did you do your part good?
Let's not stick around to find out, huh?
We'll go. Pilot to crew, how we doing?
We're okay, boss.
Tail gunner?
Not so good, sir. The last jerry was part battle blown.
Where are you hit?
In the leg.
Bad?
I can make it if you can. 5FW's coming out of the sun, 6 o'clock high.
Give me the one on the left, that's my baby.
I got the middle one.
That's the way it'd be on a mission. You clawed your way across the German sky, black with flak and alive with buzzing interceptors. You dropped your bombs on a tire factory or an oil refinery or a railroad yard, and then fought your way back, with the AK-AK slugging you and the fighters belting you, until finally the gray North Sea lay below. And beyond was England. And you could take a deep breath and feel yourself to see if you were all in one piece.
What you doing tonight, Clint?
Sleep. I'm going to sleep.
Oh, you can sleep anytime. Let's live it up.
You live it up. I'm going to sleep.
Yeah. I got a date with Martha. She's got something on the fire for you. That new cutie at the Red Cross, the blonde.
Here she's from Shreveport. Real southern comfort.
Why did he have to do it? Always getting Martha to fix me up with this one or that one. The only one I wanted was Martha. But I was no competition for Max. Nobody was. What he wanted, he took, and he made everybody like it. Even now, when it didn't make any difference anymore, it hurt to hear him talk about Martha that way.
That Martha, boy, oh boy! Woo-hoo! We get this war one, son? I'm going to set fire to her Red Cross Clubmobile, blow off this flying boxcar, and treat her to the fanciest wedding in the whole United States and Canada. And who's going to be my best man, huh? You, son, that's who.
Max, don't rub it in. Stop it.
Well, how about it, son? What say we go out howling and prowling tonight?
Okay, Max, you twisted my arm.
Attaboy. You stick with old Max, you'll meet the prettiest gals in the world. Green West Tower from Big Willie, 720. Green West Tower from Big Willie, 720.
Tower here. How you doing, Big Willie, 720?
Not bad. Request permission to land. Over.
Affirmative. Use runway 278. Wind west-southwest.
Roger. Send out an ambulance. Got a tail gunner with a dent in it.
We'll go down.
Wheels down, right and left.
Wheels down, right and left.
Low flaps.
Low flaps. Speed, 155, 50, 45, 40, 30. Nice landing, Max.
Take over, Clint. All of a sudden, I don't feel so hot.
the signal. The sentence that ends each mission. Just as it ended the last mission more than 2 years ago, when Max brought the Martha mine back for the last time from Berlin with her nose blown off, her tail assembly in shreds, and four dead men at her guns. You'd taken over after he'd done the work, the incredible job of getting you back to English Earth. You had taxied her into her revetment, killed the motors, and locked the brakes, while Max just sat there looking straight ahead, seeing nothing, a hideous emptiness in his eyes. Just as he is now, 2 years later, silent, dumb, hearing nothing, thinking nothing, feeling nothing, a mental basket case. Okay, Maury, help me get him out of the cockpit.
Roger. Well, Max, old boy, how we doing? Nothing, huh? No reaction?
No. Angela?
Yeah, Clint.
Rewind the tape recorders, will you?
Yeah, sure thing.
I'll get the projector, Clint.
Okay, Fred, thanks. Let's go, Max. Let's get the combat report over. We got a date, son, remember?
He doesn't remember anything.
That's right. He doesn't remember anything. So you steer him out of the cockpit like you'd lead a baby. And you help him out of his flight suit and his oxygen mask and his helmet. And then a quiet little gray-haired lady with the saddest eyes in the world pushes a wheelchair into the barn. And you help him into it. And she asks you the same question with her sad eyes.
No change?
No. Came alive during the mission, but that's all.
Good evening, Miss Harris.
Oh, hello, Angelo. Good evening, Fred, Maury.
Good evening, ma'am.
Hi, Miss Harris.
Won't you boys come in and have a beer?
Gee, I can't, Miss Harris. Boss got me tenant bar nights now, and I got to get back on the job.
I'm sorry, I'll have to ask for a rain check, Mrs. Harris.
Well, perhaps the next time.
Maybe.
When can you come again?
A week from tonight, say? How's that with you guys?
It's okay with me.
Sure, I'll get the boss to switch my night off.
All right, then. I'll expect you a week from tonight. God bless you, boys. God bless and keep you.
You just stand there as she swings the wheelchair around and pilots her helpless son out of the barn and down the path toward the house. Then you go to work, for there are things to be done before you can drive back to town. Because this is 1947, and there hasn't been a real mission in more than 2 years. The tape recording of diving planes and bursting guns must be rewound for the next mission. The projector, which throws a picture of clouds and attacking enemy planes onto the cyclorama at the end of the barn, must be checked. And the plane itself, just a mock-up, a fake, but enough to give Max Harris the illusion of reality. Enough to bring him fleetingly out of the black void in which he lives out his days. Crazy? Maybe. But you owe your life to Max. And so does Maury, who was the Martha Mine's navigator. And Angelo, who was her waist gunner. Max brought you home safe once, you three. And it's the least you can do to come out here to his mother's farm every now and then and play Wild Blue Yonder, boys, so that Max, for a brief while, can live again. That's reason enough for the elaborate setup you've created. But there's another reason. Martha.
Did you have a good time, Clint?
Oh. I thought you were asleep, Martha.
Asleep? Why sleep when there's so much to stay awake for? All the noises of the night to listen to and wonder about. My husband to think about. Wonder where he's been since dinner time. Who he's with. What he's doing.
I'm sorry, Martha.
Oh, I know you can't expect the honeymoon to last forever. Sooner or later, I'm told, every woman has got to expect her husband to start wandering. But Clint, we haven't even celebrated our second anniversary, and you've already started. What's her name?
There isn't any her. You've got to believe that.
All right. I'll take your word for it. So where have you been tonight? Where did you go last week and the week before that? Where do you spend your night out?
Martha, I can't tell you.
This is crazy. A man goes bowling with the boys, or he goes to a lodge meeting, or he works late at the office, and a wife understands that. But who could understand this?
Martha, you've got to have faith in me.
Forgive me if I'm a little cynical. I had faith in another man once.
Martha!
And a lot of good it did me. He walked out without saying goodbye. Not even a farewell note, nothing.
I explained to you at the time. Max received urgent orders transferring him to the 15th Air Force at Foggia.
I know, but he could have written. And why didn't he? Because he was too busy telling some Italian signorina the same things he had told me.
You still love him?
If I did, I wouldn't have married you. But don't take it for granted. Love's a fragile thing. It bruises easily. It can die for want of attention.
There isn't anything in the world I wouldn't do to keep your love, Martha.
Then tell me where you were tonight.
That I can't do, Martha. I'm sorry. I just can't.
We'll return to romance in just a moment. What you don't pack in the attic can't start an attic fire. What you don't pile in a cellar corner can't take fire either. It's a good rule to clean up burnables. Don't let them accumulate where they might someday catch a spark. Fire prevention is far less costly than fire repairs. And now for the second act of Romance.
The first lie, no matter how big, comes easy enough. But the lies that you have to tell to protect the first one can make your life unbearable. They're bricks in a wall of guilt which slowly imprisons a man and finally smothers him in the torture chamber of his own making. I know.
Oh, boy, those Fritz. Ed, ain't you on a funny race?
Hey, Angelo, let's have another row. What do you say?
Yeah, sure thing, Eddie. Same?
Yeah, same thing.
Coming up. Oh, hi, Clint. How long you been sitting there?
Long enough to hear that story.
That Eddie is a very funny guy.
Yeah.
What do you have?
A beer.
One beer. There you are. Hey, what's the matter? You been sick? You don't look too hot.
I don't feel too hot, but I haven't been sick.
Then what happened to you Wednesday night? You was due at Max's.
I know.
Why wasn't you there?
None of your business. Those guys are waiting for their drinks.
Yeah.
What I tell you,
huh? Hello, Clint. All right, so it ain't any of my business, but this whole bit with Max was your idea.
I know.
And it don't work without you.
What do you mean?
Wednesday night, we started the routine. We got Max into his gear. We got him strapped into his seat. I sat in for you as co-pilot. We weren't half through the cockpit check when Max looked at me, and his face was something I never want to see again. Where's Clint? He yelled. Can't go without Clint.
Good Lord.
And we didn't go.
What happened?
He went out. Completely out. Worse than I ever saw him. Worse even than the first time when he got us back from Berlin. We had to carry him into the house, put him back to bed. He's been there ever since.
Give me another beer. No, make it bourbon. Double.
Clint, we promised Max's mother we'd try again tomorrow night. You'll be there?
I don't know.
What kind of a heel are you?
The worst kind, I guess.
It ain't easy for Maury to get out there, Frank. And I can think of more entertaining ways to spend my night off, but we do it, don't we? We do it because you talked us into it and because of the way we feel about Max. And we'll keep right on doing it, if it'll help him.
But you? His best friend? What's the matter? You get bored or something? You just walk off just like that?
I didn't walk off just like that.
Well, you sure weren't there Wednesday.
Angelo, Martha doesn't know about this.
What's that got to do with it?
You don't understand, Angelo. She doesn't know about Max.
Well, then tell her.
I can't.
Look, you better run that down again, son. Slow this time and in English, huh?
She doesn't know that Max broke up. She doesn't know he was one of the worst cases of combat fatigue in the bomber command. She thinks he walked out on her.
But how come?
Because that's what I told her.
Why?
Why do you think? I married her, didn't I?
Boy, you are a heel, aren't you?
Yeah.
Well, they say honest confession is good for the soul.
Yeah.
That ain't what I mean. Why don't you tell her?
She'd leave me.
And I wouldn't exactly blame her.
Yeah. Be seeing you, Angie.
When? Tomorrow night?
Maybe. Honest confession's good for the soul. That's why there are priests and psychoanalysts. You have troubles, you talk them out, they disappear. That's the theory. And it works, I guess, sometimes. But not for me. For me, there was only one way out. Martha was in the kitchen when I got home. I went straight to the bedroom and pulled my old B4 out of the closet. I had just finished packing when she came into the room.
I didn't hear you come in, Clint. You've been here long?
Long enough.
I'll put the steak on.
I won't be here for dinner.
Clint, what's that bag for? Where are you going?
Martha, I've got something to tell you.
What is it?
I'm leaving.
Why? What's the matter? What have I done?
Nothing. I'm leaving because of what I've done.
Clint,
I don't deserve you, Martha. I got you under false pretenses. Our whole marriage is built on a lie. Martha, Max didn't walk out on you. He wasn't transferred to Foggia.
What happened to him?
He cracked up. Mentally, combat fatigue. One of the worst. In cases like that, the man is shipped off the base immediately so the morale of the others won't be endangered. You were up in London. By the time you got back to the base, Max was on his way to a hospital in the States. I knew you wouldn't hear from him because he couldn't write. So I made up the story about his transfer and I counted on your hurt pride to do the rest. It was a terrible thing to do. No excuse for it. But there was a reason. I loved you. I loved you so much that there wasn't anything I wouldn't do to get you.
Is Max still alive?
Yes, in a way. His mother takes care of him on a farm out near Libertyville. That's where I've been going every Friday night. Now you know why I couldn't tell you. I was afraid I'd lose you. I knew how much you loved Max. I knew you never loved me like that. But I didn't care. You belonged to me, and that was all that mattered. Now I know it's no good.
You can't base a marriage on a lie, Clint.
I know. I know. That's why I'm leaving.
Clint.
Goodbye, my darling.
Clint! No!
What do you mean you're Mr. Schmidt?
Sure was mine. I clobbered him as he came in for his pass.
Hey, you listen to this, Skipper.
Sure, more laps than the USO.
You know I knocked off that heavy ship off right above the cockpit. You must have seen it.
Can't prove it by me, son. I was too busy driving this airplane.
How about you, Clint?
I didn't see it.
That'll be the day.
Knock it off, boys. We're coming in for a landing. Big Willie, 702 to Green West Tower. Big Willie, 702 to Green West Tower. Over.
Green West Tower to Big Willie, 702. What can I do for you, old boy? Over.
Request permission to land.
Affirmative. Use runway 98. Wind gentle from east-southeast.
Roger.
You need the lead wagon?
Not this trip, thanks. Over and out. Now, what you doing tonight, Clint?
Nothing. Not a thing.
No date?
No date.
I got Martha to fix you up with something if you'd like.
I'd love it.
Hey, how about that blonde from Shreveport? You like to go with that again?
Blonde, brunette, anything. It doesn't make any difference anymore.
Okay, son, you got yourself a deal. Lower landing gear.
Lowering landing gear.
Low flaps.
Low flaps.
Airspeed.
175. 70. 160. 55. 50. And we're down.
You take over, Clint. All of a sudden, I don't feel so hot.
End of another mission. Guiding the skipper with a crippled mind out of the cockpit, peeling off his flying suit, while he stands quietly staring straight ahead, his vacant eyes seeing who knows what, his jaw slack, an ambulatory dead man. As you turn to lead your friend to his wheelchair, you stop, and your throat goes dry, and the flesh crawls up the back of your neck. Standing there, tears streaming down her cheeks, is Martha.
Max.
Max turns his head. The vacant eyes look at your wife, the look of a corpse. Then he turns away. There's been no recognition, none. And his mother leads him off. And you stand there shaking and chilled. And then suddenly it's all right. Martha's arms are around you and you're warm again and her tear-wet cheek is against yours.
Oh, my darling, I love you. I never knew until now how much I love you.
But
I was here all the time. I heard everything. There are very few men who would go through that week after week. A hopeless, painful labor of love.
He's my friend, Martha.
And I'm your wife.
Are you?
Yes. Now and forever.
What about Max?
I'd like to help him. I still have my Red Cross uniform. I could be here with coffee and donuts when the mission's over, just like I used to be. Might give him a few more moments of life each week.
It's worth trying.
That way we could help Max. Together.
Romance is produced and directed by William Frug. You have heard The Mission by William Keneally, adapted for radio by William N. Robeson, featuring Vic Perrin with Virginia Gregg, Tony Barrett, Jack Edwards, Jack Crucian, Paula Winslow, and Byron Kane. Special effects by Tom Hanley and Bill James. This is Dan Cubberly inviting you to hear Romance, transcribed next week at this same time. Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy, Gary Crosby, Jack Kirkwood, Ray Noble's orchestra, and other assorted personalities, human and otherwise, will be here again tomorrow night on CBS Radio. Stay tuned now for Gunsmoke, which follows immediately over most of these same stations.